You are probably familiar with the old saying, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. Now, I know some of you are thinking, poor Deacon Jim, he needs to quit sipping that communion wine before Mass. He gets all sorts of confused. But what if I told you that I'm not confused? What if this twist on an old saying may have a deeper meaning than the original? What if I told you that the original saying, anything worth doing is worth doing well, can focus us too much on our own efforts and relies too much on our own pride and ego for us to experience a favorable outcome from a task we are performing? What if I explained to you that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly, focus us instead outside of our own pride and ego, and allows us to appreciate that some things are worth doing because they are simply worth doing, whether we perform them well or not? Some of you might be thinking, now, isn't that clever? Others might be thinking, my grandma used to say anything worth doing is worth doing well all the time, and I think she had a point. Still others of you might be telling yourselves, I have lived by that old saying my whole life, and I think I have done well, thank you very much. It can be hard to hear someone criticize or even correct an old saying that we have turned to for wisdom all of our lives, a saying that we use to make decisions at important times, a saying that we have painstakingly passed along to our children and grandchildren, just as it was passed down to us. Imagine then the mood of the crowd that is listening to Jesus in today's gospel. What we have come to call the Beatitudes is a list of corrections to closely held beliefs that fly in the face of current wisdom, both in the time of Jesus and now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But what about that old saying, to the victor goes the spoils? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Well, what about that old saying, nice guys finish last? Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. But that old saying, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. But there's an old saying, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. In his Beatitudes, Jesus is not simply offering clever variations on common themes, nor is he looking to pick an argument with the Jewish authorities. Rather, he is admonishing those who are listening, then and today, to understand that much of the common beliefs that we live by in our daily lives is not in keeping with the way that God sees the world. Jesus is not trying to shame or embarrass us with his teaching. He is not trying to guilt us into rushing out and selling all of our belongings. Jesus is trying to get us to loosen our grip on the things that we cherish so that we can cultivate the attitudes and belief system that are consistent with what God cherishes. Consider a story that occurred in the year 1274 of the Common Era. Thomas Aquinas was a friar and priest in the Dominican order. Thomas had a long and successful career as a theologian, writing books, giving lectures, and preaching to crowds. By 1274, he had spent 9 years working on Summa Theologica, a massive work of systematic theology that not only absorbed his time, but also the time of scribes that were assigned to help him perform the enormous volume of work that he was undertaking. After 9 years, Summa Theologica was nearing completion when Thomas experienced a beatific vision. For those of you who are not familiar with that term, a beatific vision is defined as the ultimate direct self-communication of God to an individual person. In other words, Thomas had an encounter with God where he directly experienced God's love and grace. From that point on, Thomas stopped working on Summa Theologica, even though the project was close to completion. He told people in his community that in comparison to what he experienced in the beatific vision, all of his attempts to understand and describe God in Summa Theologica amounted to nothing more than straw. Hence, Thomas Aquinas never finished his impressive project. Not that he had done anything wrong, nor did he waste his time. But in experiencing a beatific vision, Thomas Aquinas was changed to his core and discovered a truth in God that completely recalibrated his way of understanding not just God, but the world and himself. His experience loosened his grip on everything he thought was important in this world and refocused him to what is important to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the experience that Jesus is trying to give us in his preaching of the Beatitudes. You and I are unlikely to have a beatific vision of God. So Jesus tries to teach us an understanding of God's nature that requires us to completely reassess the way we understand God, the world, and our approach to relationships with each other. Jesus wants us to see that the conventional wisdom that tells us the one with the most toys when he dies wins needs to be let go of in favor of developing attitudes and character that revolve around being humble, meek, and kind. Like Thomas Aquinas, we need to let Jesus' teaching shake us to our foundation, loosening our grips on the projects and possessions of this world and refocusing us on the concerns of God, namely helping the poor and the marginalized. If we can allow God to make this transformation in us, we will surely find what Thomas Aquinas learned in his experience of the beatific vision, that what we let go of, even after years of toil and effort, is unimportant because what we gain is the opportunity to join in the infinite love and mercy of God.